Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He writes for The Athletic. His name is Zach Meisel. He writes about the Guardians. He joins us here on The Fan. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to hear from you.
You sound good.
We had Chris on a little bit ago and asked him if they're ahead of schedule, and he wouldn't really say yes, but the obvious answer is yes, right?
Yeah, it's definitely yes. I've talked to people in the organization who have said yes. Yeah, do you want me to elaborate on that? I mean, I think it's
that'd be nice.
It's pretty obvious, right? I mean,
we have 5 hours to kill. Elaborate as long as you want.
They have had 14 players make their major league debut. They have the youngest roster in the league. Like, that's not a formula for winning, usually, but it has been here because they've found the recipe to win some games. You know, the style of offense is working. The pitching has gotten a lot better as the season's gone on. And the young kids come up and look like not young kids. So it's strange. I mean, it's like Oscar Gonzalez looks like a polished major leaguer. Stephen Kwan looks like a 10-year veteran. That's not supposed to happen. I think it's easy to forget Andrés Giménez is 23. So, yeah, I mean, it's they're ahead of schedule, but I think it's also important to remember that, like, your timeline, what you have in mind, you know, life doesn't always go the way you think it's going to. I mean, ask the White Sox. Like, they're supposed to be winning this division by 10 games and just in the thick of their contention window and contending for the World Series, and it just didn't happen. So, you know, it's nothing is guaranteed. This doesn't mean that the Guardians will be even better next year and even better the year after that. So you do want to capitalize on the moment when you're in it. But, yeah, the organization didn't think that they'd be sitting here with a two-game lead in the division in mid-August. And part of that is because the division's not very good. But, you know, they've done a good job of pressing the right buttons here throughout most of the year. And, you know, it makes things exciting, whether you expect it or not.
Yeah, Zach, obviously the first half of the season was surprising. Can you make an argument, though, that even after the trade deadline has surprised this team as well? Because if you think about it, like, if you would have known you had a realistic chance of winning the Central and beating the Twins and beating the White Sox, you would have made more of a deal than shipping off a third catcher to Minnesota at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can go back to March and when they swung and missed on Matt Olson and Jesse Winker and other moves. And we're very fortunate that Jose Ramirez decided to beg the team for a long-term extension. I mean, they said outwardly, like, they want to play the kids, and they have to figure out who can fit around Jose Ramirez and how they can build this thing up. That's not the sort of messaging that says, hey, we expect to be in this race throughout the season. So they haven't really deviated from that either. And the decisions they've made, you know, calling up kids to make their major league debuts on the mound, whether it's Hunter Gaddis against Houston or Xavion Curry last night, you know, I think they're trying to juggle contention with development. I think they're taking the contention part more seriously now than they were in April or May. But you're right, they didn't make moves at the deadline. And you know, I think the thing to remember, too, is, like, I thought that this team would be playing better baseball in August than they were in April and May, just because you would have gotten some answers by now. And young players would be more confident and they would have found their footing by now. So that's happened. It's just, it's happened while this team is winning games. And I think that's the part that no one really anticipated.
Zach, you and I did a piece a couple days ago kind of talking about this whole thing, but let's just take it to the air. How do you identify now where to improve? And, I mean, obviously you got a pennant race and you're going to go for it this year, but we've talked at length about the 40-man, and Chris sort of downplayed a little bit and said that, yeah, those guys that we added are close to contributing now, and they are contributing, and they're going to be, you know, it's not, and the guys that they have to add aren't as far away as maybe the guys that they had to add last winter. But it is still an issue. And so how do you determine places to upgrade through trade when you're still trying to cycle through all the young kids that you have and find out what you have at those same spots?
Right. I think last winter was more of a 40-man crunch. I think this winter is more of a just there's too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, I you know, you can look right now and it's like how Oscar Gonzalez and Nolan Jones, maybe one of them is your long-term everyday right fielder, but it's difficult to get both of them enough at bats. And you've seen Gonzalez get more playing time than Jones recently, and he's earned it. He's played really well. But that doesn't mean that Jones won't be a productive major leaguer. And it's difficult to get answers on everybody. And I think they're going to run into this. They're certainly running into it in the outfield right now, and that's before George Valera comes up. You know, Will Brennan has had a phenomenal season at AAA. You haven't seen him yet. And then they're going to run into this with the pitching staff, too. I mean, you've got so many arms in AA who are really, really intriguing. You've got we've seen a bunch of these guys who have been at AAA this season. So it's going to get crowded next year on that front, too. So to me, you can clear enough space to protect almost all the guys that you want to protect. But it's how do you give them all opportunities to determine who's actually good and who's not? And I think the way to do that is to make some trades, to consolidate some talent. And to your point, Jason, I mean, then you have to figure out, okay, well, what are you upgrading? Is it the rotation? Is it just a slugger in the middle of your lineup who can play first base or DH or something? I mean, they have to see who's out there this winter, but they certainly have the ammunition to go get anybody they want. It's just you really have to pull the right levers this winter. I think this is a critical offseason for this team to sort of take that next leap into being a legitimate contender and one with some staying power.
Ah, you see, that last part scares me, Zach. We're already focused on the offseason. We're talking about legitimate contender, all these things, which has me asking you this. Guardians are in the driver's seat for the Central. Is it because of them, or is it because the Twins are just frauds and their lack of pitching and everything attached to that team? And say hello to your new son. Thank you. Congratulations on the birth of the baby.
Jason, Andre Knott's talking some trash about you, so he says we miss you.
Oh, it's Andre.
I was just there.
Anyway, yeah, I think the division, I mean, it plays a part, of course, and I think next year maybe we'll start to get more of a better view of these teams because you have a more balanced schedule. But it's, I mean, honestly, like, the way Cleveland is set up here, I mean, they have, if not the best farm system in baseball, it's top two or three. They have three more top 100 prospects, I think, than any other team. So clearly they're set up well for 2023, 24, 25, 26. So honestly, like, shame on the White Sox for even letting Cleveland have this opportunity.
Totally agree. Like,
they have a more talented, more experienced roster top to bottom. And this was the year where you're not supposed to worry about Cleveland, where it was, you know, go win the division and you know, jockey with the Yankees and the Astros for the pennant. And the Twins kind of fell into their place, too, because they've always been in the middle. I don't think they can figure out if they should. I don't know if that they don't have a great farm system. They don't have, like, a perfect roster by any means. They're just kind of, like, always.
Well, their pitching's failed them. Across June and July, they're 29th in ERA, 25th in FIP, 24th in strikeout rate. And they started hot and since then have been 27 and 31. Like, they've melted down. At least the White Sox, I can be like, oh, White Sox, you've had a bunch of injuries, right? Anderson, Eloy, Vaughn, Abreu. Like, I can quantify it. The Twins were just, they were never truly in position here, Zach.
Yeah, I think a lot of White Sox players have had down years. I think their manager's been an issue, too. But well, no, you're right. I mean, the Twins have the pitching's been an issue for the Twins for years, and they sort of like dip their toe in the water when making upgrades during the offseason or at the trade deadline, but they never like make a splash. And so they're always just like, okay, they could win like 85 games if things break their way. So basically, I mean, and then we could, the Tigers and the Royals have, you know, they've essentially been tanking for years, and there's no guarantee that it's going to pay off. So yeah, the division has done Cleveland some favors, but it's also just like these teams that should be capitalizing on the Guardians sort of retooling and resetting the last year or two, they haven't taken advantage. And so now the Guardians might be, I mean, they've earned it given how they've played of late, but in a way they might be gifted a division title and they might not give it back for a long time.
Zach, we've talked about Shane Bieber ad nauseum, but his last four starts, he's 4-0, ERA of 167, a FIP of 171, 30 strikeouts in 27 innings. He sure is starting to look like the Shane that won the Cy Young. Where is he and where does this whole thing stand? Is he back or not?
He thinks he's close. I was talking to him two starts ago, and he said when he got hurt last year, you know, he didn't want to hit the injured list. He had never been injured before. He had never missed time. And so he was doing everything he could to stay out there, even though he knew his shoulder wasn't right. And so when you do that, you develop some bad habits, your mechanics get out of whack. And then when it is finally time to return from the injured list, you know, those mechanics were still in place. And so it's really hard to get out of that. You sort of have to start from scratch. That's part of why he took it so slowly in spring training this year. So he said that's been a work in progress all year, and he's had to make a bunch of tweaks behind the scenes that he normally, you know, this guy has, he came up from the minors as a kid, a young pup in a really good rotation and never struggled. And so this is the first time that he's had to go through something like this, but in recent weeks, he's felt like he's really close to getting back to where he was pre-injury, pre-bad habits. And I don't think it's any coincidence that you saw his velocity pick up yesterday. Or over the weekend, I think he's close. I don't know that we're ever going to see what he was in 2020. That was just absolutely bonkers what he did for 12 starts. But you know, his track record shows that even when he's not at that level, he's still a Cy Young contender and he's an all-star. So, you know, I think he's in that conversation for top 5 or 10 pitchers in baseball, even when he's not at his 2020 self.
Zach, when it comes to the bullpen, what has surprised you more? Eli Morgan coming back down to earth or Karinchak being as dominant as he's been? Vokey dominant.
Yeah, probably Karinchak. I think he's up to like 14 straight scoreless innings with 27 strikeouts in that stretch. Morgan, I don't think I'm that surprised by it just because it seemed like he was pitching at an unsustainable level, and he's always been prone to home runs. And I still wonder if his future is as a starter and not a reliever. But with Karinchak, I mean, they needed that. They thought in spring training, you know, everybody, you know, it's not a surprise, like his numbers plummeted once they started checking for sticky stuff. And everyone wondered, like, could he get back to the way he was? And it's important to remember, like, this guy, like, it's not like he was in little league or high school ball and was just dousing his hand in pine tar so he could like grip the ball better and have an elite spin rate and make his way to the majors that way. Like, he has a ton of talent and two really good pitches with or without sticky stuff. So they thought in spring training this year that his stuff was playing the way it played in the first half last year. And then he got injured, and then he went to AAA, and I think he was working out some kinks, and he looks like he did in the first half last year. So kudos to him for getting all the way back, and he makes that bullpen, like, really good. Because Trevor Stephan's been very solid, and obviously Emmanuel Clase is, I think I wrote today, he's just a destroyer of souls in the ninth inning.
Zach, I asked you in the piece, could Ahmed Rosario be the answer at short? We got into it a little bit earlier in the show, and I said then I wanted to ask you about it on the air because you said no. Is it just the contract issue? They only have him for a year? Is it they like who they have behind him better? What do you think of Med Rosario's future is in Cleveland?
No, I don't think it's out of the question. You know, he's got 1 year remaining of team control, and look, at the beginning of this year, I didn't think he'd be on this team past August 2nd,
yeah.
But he's forced them to change how they think. You know, there were people in the front office who thought it would still make some sense to dangle him on the trade market just because they have Gabriel Arias at AAA and Tyler Freeman is up here now, and Brian Rocchio's maybe a year or so away from the majors. But, you know, this team is good right now, so you can't just bank on hoping that those prospects will come in and play well eventually. You need production right now. He's become a fabric of this lineup. What's working for this team most is the top of that order, with him and Kwan getting on base constantly and wreaking havoc on the bases and scoring when Jose Ramirez and Andrés Giménez hit them in. So, yeah, and I think he's improved defensively too. I don't think he's ever going to be a great shortstop, but he's at least, you know, and paired with Giménez, who's fantastic. It's certainly been a solid defense. So I think they still need to make a trade. You know, I don't know if they believe Rocchio is the guy long term, if they still believe in Arias even after his sort of lousy year at AAA, but like they have to figure out who is the long term option. And with Rosario, it's also like, what are you gonna get for him on the trade market? You know, this winter he's got 1 year remaining of team control. So if you could flip him for something really useful, like maybe that makes some sense, but I don't know that whatever you're going to get for him is going to outweigh the drop-off in production from him to some rookie. So it's a tricky situation. I know they don't like just letting guys get to free agency and walking, but that might be, you know, the best option, you know, unless maybe there's a short-term contract extension or something. I don't know what Rosario values himself at salary wise either, so that plays into this, because he'll make probably $7 or $8 million next season, so it's something that they're going to evaluate all winter, but it kind of ties back to what we talked about earlier, where they've got log jams all over the place, a very crowded 40-man roster, and they're going to have to sort of sort through it and make some tough decisions.
Zach Mizel, The Athletic. We do, as always. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Jason, I look at the. I'll start with Minnesota, and then we can work our way down. Minnesota's 27-31 since June 1st. Their pitching has been an absolute disaster. Like, they made attempts at the deadline, right? You add Tyler Mahle, you add Lopez, you add Michael Fulmer. There were attempts there. But the Twins are 29th in ERA, 25th in FIP, 24th in strikeout rate, and they're also one of two teams, along with the Cubs, who don't have a 100-inning pitcher this year. They have been an absolute disaster when it comes to their pitching. So, like, we know what they've done wrong. Then you look to the White Sox, Jason, and the White Sox have had just a litany of injuries. I mean, that's basically the theme of their season. You can make fun of Tony La Russa napping in the dugout, which, by the way, did you see that viral video?
Yeah, that was not good.
Oh, my goodness. In case you guys didn't see that, Tony La Russa gets heckled by a fan to make a move to change out a base runner. And then La Russa, on cue, like, this fan is yelling at him. Like, I don't remember who it was. He's like, put so-and-so in the game to pinch run. Stop falling asleep. And then La Russa, like wakes up from his slumber, and then all of a sudden calls time out and trots out to the ump, and then is like removes the guy from second base and does the exact move the guy was yelling him to do. Like, we're reserved to White Sox fans having to see their manager listen to rants from people that paid to be in the second row as like actual managerial advice. That's where they're at right now. But they've had a slew of injuries themselves. Vaughn, Giménez, Anderson, Abreu. Mixed with Robert, they've started 9 times in 115 games, those 5 together. That's insane. That doesn't even account for Yasmani Grandal missing or Lance Lynn or anyone else missing. They haven't been together.
That's the core of their team.
It's the core of their team.
Well, I mean, of course the division that they're in plays to their advantage. Any other division in baseball, they're not a first-place team. Any other division in the American League, they're double-digit games out of first place. But, you know, you play the hand that you're dealt. You take advantage of the situation that you're in. This is not a great division. If this isn't the worst division in baseball, it's second only to probably to the NL Central, which is also a disaster.
Right.
So, okay, so you take advantage of that. And that's why, yeah, okay, they're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm discovering new land here. I'm suggesting the fact that I think if earlier we were trying to figure out what else can the Guardians do to get your get fans to pay attention, I think now we're sitting there and we're like, you know, maybe fans do understand what we also understand.
But
it's a good team. It's not a great team.
Well, and I think internally, I think they are very aware of where they're at in this process of they can compete in the Central. They could win the Central when it comes to the Yankees, when it comes to the Dodgers, when it comes to even the Rays. They're probably punching out of their weight class a little bit. And I don't know if they really feel like they're ready to take on the behemoths of baseball. But for the moment, for where they're at, go win your division. That's an unbelievable testament to this entire organization if they can do this, if they can hold on and pull this off.
Yes, I agree with you. I think the sad part of this, though, is that if they win the division, Jason, expectations are already raised then. Like, that's it. Then the fans are going to expect them, okay, well, they won. Won ahead of schedule, but they won, so they need to win every single year moving forward. The White Sox won't have this season next year. Not with these amount of injuries.
Well, that's what we thought last year.
Twins addressed their starting pitching. That's a much different roster as well. I'm just saying I don't know that we can hang up on this idea that because you have success this year, then all of a sudden we're off to the races and we're just a successful team moving forward.
Well, I agree with that, and that's why when you're dealing with as many young players as the Guardians are, that everyone's going to take another leap forward. You know,
yeah.
Just because Oscar Gonzalez has had a great rookie year, does that mean he's going to flourish next year and go on to this remarkable career? No, not necessarily. Same with Stephen Kwan, and I know Kwan's had just an unbelievable season, and his contact is incredible. Doesn't guarantee anything for next year or beyond. So, but I also don't think that this
non-quantumable. Okay.
Well, I listen. I think Kwan is very much a piece of this going forward.
Yeah.
But I am slow to put him into like I think Josh Naylor and Andrés Giménez are right next to Jose Ramirez in terms of core pieces for this team. Maybe I'll be proven wrong eventually, but I think those guys, all three of those guys, I would put in sort of.
I can agree with that. Yeah.
I don't know anyone from the outfield you can put in that category right now. I mean, Miles Straw has the contract, but
he's got the contract, but that's about it.
But that's about it.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to be the center fielder for a long time.
Oh, they love Kwan. What Kwan does though in his contact rate, not striking a lot though, like it fits their identity perfect.
Absolutely, it does.
I am with you though. Again, he's done such a great job from moving down lower in the lineup to being a solid number one leadoff hitter.
I think he's going to have a very fine career. I'm just saying at this point. I don't know you can put him in as a nucleus core guy who you know is going to be here for the next 5 to 10 years.
I
That's
agree.
All.
Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.